Basically, if he has an issue and he calls, they know him. They're like, hey Mo, welcome back. They know his phone number, like, sorry that flight got canceled, because they already know, the automated resource already knows that the flight was canceled and he's calling to rebook, right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that is marketing.
Everybody has started doing it. One is like capturing the data, so that at least we know what are the preferences, like what are the occasions for which wait is coming to the restaurant.
And the ideas exist. Some of it is not new idea, but we just need the fundamental information to be captured. I think it's coming. I agree with you. It's coming. It's just the information's got to be gathered.
Technology is amazing, like, but if it doesn't make it to the hands of the frontline workers, it's useless. If you do not train your staff to take that action, it's useless. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Tech Bites. Today, we're honored to have the entire board of advisors in person here in Cowboys Club in Frisco. So we've got Mr. Kendall Ware. He's been part of the board from the very beginning. Thanks for joining us in person here. Then we've got Mo Askari. He was the second board member we've added. A lot of valuable insight that he's added to the company. And of course, this year, last year we did not have Pankaj, but this year we also have Pankaj. First of all, congratulations on your new role as CTO of Raising Cane's.
Thank you.
So that big change and progression forward. So big congratulations to you. And of course, we've got Wade Allen. He was also recently promoted to the president of Costa Vida, and he's been part of the board, and he was here last year as well. So Wade, thanks for being here.
Yeah, love it.
Okay, so let's continue along the lines. Let's go back to two topics. I want to touch base on customer data, because obviously we talked about that AI. It requires a ton of data set. If you don't have data, if you put nothing in, nothing comes out. One, and then two, touching base on that ROI. So wait, just how do we maximize ROI out of technology? And where do we start?
It's a broad question, but I do think one in particular, the point of sale system. I mean, when you talk about data, because we're going to touch on that here in a little while, every restaurant has an enormous amount of anonymized data in their system, right? They all have to have a point of sale system that captures transactions and information. The key is, how do you make it intelligent so that it actually creates profit for you or sales for you and not just becomes a cost? And we're starting to figure that out. Right. I think actually AI may even accelerate that at some point, but there's trends and intelligence inside of that, those anonymized transactions. Or are there ways to make those anonymized transactions no more anonymized or grouped up to find trends inside of that? And if you can, then you can start to get to the place where you can start to go, hey, I can use that as a means in which to reach out to, contact, or change my business based on what I'm seeing to drive sales and profitability. And I firmly believe, especially with Milagros and the things that we're doing here, that we're on the precipice of really making that impact. The problem is, everybody else that wants to try that has to get data out of a system that may not be able to get data out of a system. Then they've got to roll their intelligence, which is going to create another system to sit on top of that, or a whole bunch of people that can run that. Then they've got to hire a marketing team to go and actually execute on that rolled data that they extracted out of the database that couldn't give them the information, right? So there's like all these limitations. If you have a system that allows you to work in that environment, quickly analyze what's happening, whether it's AI, automation, or some kind of intelligent platform, and then quickly deploy it in a, I'll call it a flywheel fashion, right? Customer journey, you're gonna be the one that actually drives the most profitability and sales into the future. And I see that's where restaurants are going. Because once that happens, then I can just turn over and say, okay, that's working, just run the restaurant. Just run a great shift, just do a great job with your guests, love on them, make great food, be proud of what you're serving, which is what we're all trying to get back to, right? That's what it was in the 80s, 70s, and 60s. It wasn't technology. And then we kind of ushered in, and now we're so focused on the tech, we're hoping to get back to that. Let the systems do the work they need to do and make profit for us and get back to just creating a great guest experience.
Yeah, which comes back to kind of elevating that guest experience and use the technology to enable this frontline workers to do that. But it's actually interesting you touch base on that, because when we started, in early 19, when we were having these conversations internally, trying to figure out why this. So we said, okay, what are the top two, three problems that the restaurant owners have? And ultimately, we came down to two simple basic ideas: increase sales, reduce cost. If you could do those two, and then that's basics of business. You got to make more money, which solves 100% of your problems, and then where you can, you should save and be optimized in that front. And then when we started building, our CDP now, our customer data platform, it's so deeply embedded in the system that we just don't have a way to turn it off. Like, everything reports back to that, because to answer the question of top-line revenue and how to do that, the answer always came back to that customer journey. You know, you want to be able to communicate with the customer. You don't want to lose 70% of your customers after the first visit. That's just not good standard of running a business. So I think that data now is going to be more valuable than ever, especially with the oncoming of this AI technologies that will be able to make those connections and automatically do things that a restaurant owner would never be able to do.
Right. Or analysts, for that matter.
Or analysts. Yeah.
It'll see it, it'll action on it, and it'll just do it. And as the operator, you won't really know, but your guests will know.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. Your guests would know, because they get that personalized messaging, et cetera, all that. Okay, so this leads us to the next topic. So same NRA 2024 report has mentioned that marketing has emerged as a top business objective, and focus on technology. Technology investment in the operators is becoming a bigger piece of their attention. What has marketing traditionally looked like in a restaurant space? And what does it look like now? And what do you think it's going to look like in the future?
Well, since I was a marketer at one point in my career,
exactly. I think you're well qualified to answer that question.
I'm staying quiet on this question.
You've seen this across three generations.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to recap this question. So what did it look like? And what does it look like now?
And what is it going to look like in the future?
So the old, I mean, again, I'm not that old, right? I'm not quite 50. But my world was, when we first started, it was all about mass media. The only way you could, other than it was direct mail pieces to the consumer, it was really about mass media. And, you know, 50% of the money you spent, you didn't know was actually working or not. And so then you've gone through this huge fragmentation of what now channels that you can reach to the consumer. And that's everything from email to, you know, social to now stuff that's happening in text and push and all the stuff that's getting even beyond that, right? Forms of communication that didn't exist. So you've got a lot more direct channels to the consumer on how to drive things. You also have a lot more intelligence, right? We were just talking about this, is you have the ability now with all of the data that you're capturing through these different systems to operationalize that intelligence to drive sales and traffic. So today, the best companies have a portfolio of media that includes some broad-based mass media, but most of it's digital, a lot of it's direct to consumer, and it's trying to get the right message to the right consumer, or for that matter, to the offer, in a timely fashion, because restaurants aren't sticky. I mean, as much as we love to say that we have our top restaurants, if the price gets too far north, all of a sudden it doesn't become your favorite restaurant anymore, right? We all have a limit at some point. And so communication is a constant reminder of, hey, we're here, we're here, we're here. You have something. Hey, you should come back. Hey, we love you. Hey, let me give you an offer, right? So that's kind of the world that we live in today with tech and on the phone and in your pocket today. The future of that is hard to see and it's murky. I think we just get even further and further down the path of direct to consumer and having a relevant experience to Pankaj, who's sitting next to me, that's different than the experience I have, and we're a foot and a half apart from each other, right? Whether that's through my device or through things that I'm seeing, because it recognizes me from intelligence, right? A la Weird Minority Report back, 10 years or 15 years ago when that movie came out. But there's something to that, right? If the AI knows me, how I shop, how I walk, my gait when I walk into the restaurant, the way could it potentially deliver something to me that was dramatically different than Pankaj, who's sitting at the same table? And the future could be that with the technology we're bringing in and the intelligence we have in marketing. The application will be the interesting part. How does it get applied, right? Is it through a phone? Is it through a chip? What is it, right?
So look like mass media, newspapers, TV, radio, etc. to today, just some sort of a digital communication, offer management, etc., to future personalized marketing.
Super relevant personalized mediums. Mm-hmm.
Kendall, what are you seeing?
I agree with all that, and I would just add that you have so many generations that you're trying to capture these days that you almost have to do all of these things. The things you mentioned that are, you know, tried and true and old school, but also the new way. But the new way, I don't think we've reached as an industry. This whole idea of personalized and based upon purchase history and transactions and getting creative and focused on that. Yes, people are doing it, but not everybody. So it's still the very new thing. So we're talking about futuristic things, you know, but that's still kind of futuristic for us right now, which is how do we get that more mainstream?
Case in point, and I know, guys, I started dominating the conversation on this one, but case in point, today, restaurants are still throttling, here's our value discount in TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's our value discount in the radio. Why in the world would you do that? If you're price sensitive and I'm not, don't show me that, because I'm just going to level down on my price, right? Or on my entree. Show it to Ahmed. He knows what is going to motivate him. But don't blow me up on the 5 for 5, because now I was buying the more expensive item and I'm going to come in and cheapen it out, right? So we still operate in this old school, just in like almost like throw the lever, just blurt it to everybody that we have a discount, when it may not be relevant, or it may just end up hurting your overall profitability.
If you're a brand that is not used to offering values and discounts and you try a couple out, you will always see that cannibalization that occurs on the menu of, oh yeah, I'm gonna go try this thing that might be $5, but normally I'm spending $10 on it and I never cared, right? So you're drawing sometimes negative attention to your brand if that's not the space that you play in.
So Pankaj, the guys over here, they dreamed up this solution. How do you deliver? Technology-wise, what's going to enable that? You're the brains behind the system. You're the CTO of the brand. You've got a CIO, a president, a CMO, head of marketing, etc., that says, hey, the future is personalized marketing. Pankaj, how do we do that?
Yeah, I think, again, we have, like, in the process, like, again, we have started building some of these things. Like, you'll see some of these foundational things, everybody has started doing it. One is like capturing the data so that at least we know what are the preferences, what is like, what does weight like, how frequently does weight show up, like what are the occasions for which weight is coming to the to a restaurant. I think we have all that. Now, when you think about it, it's so much easier for us to manage somebody's experience when they are online or when they're interacting with us in a digital through a digital channel, but how do we translate that to the physical world? And I always say this, right? It's like at some point we have to start thinking about like how does the digital world get into a physical world, but the experience doesn't change. And that's where I think the crux of the investment is going to be. That's where the most improvement is needed, because now you're talking about crew members, team members who are taking care of guests, and they probably don't have all the information which you can render or you have from a digital perspective. So how do you get that in their hand? I think like we have already started on that journey, and like a lot of other companies have already been doing that. It's just a matter of being hyper focused on what the end goal is and how do you start building on it. You cannot rush into it for sure, right? Otherwise it's going to be a very disconnected experience. But if you think strategically and start building towards what the end goal is.
There's this intrinsic tie between marketing and tech that is not going away. They're now linked.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And a smart marketer will always find a really smart IT person to be connected to, because they can make the vision come alive. Yeah. You know who does this well outside of the restaurant space is airlines do this really well.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. I mean, we were all talking about flying the other day, and a lot of us used to live on planes, not as much anymore. Kendall's still living on a plane. But but think about this for a minute. I went to the Salt Lake City Airport to check in to come down here. I just give them my ID. Yeah. That's it. Goes in, comes out, you're good. I know who you are. You can walk through, do what you need to do.
It verifies you have a boarding pass
exactly.
already.
Exactly. Doesn't need, it knows where I'm flying. Yeah. And then Mo pointed out something the other day, and I can't remember if it was United or I can't remember who the airline
United,
was.
Yeah.
United. Basically, if he has an issue and he recalls, they know him. Yeah. They're like, hey, Mo, welcome back. They know his phone number. Like, sorry that flight got canceled, because they already know, the automated resource already knows that the flight was canceled and he's calling to rebook, right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that is marketing. We don't think it's subliminal marketing that's linked to technology that Mo goes, I'm never leaving this airline because they know me, they help me, they show me I'm valued, I'm coming back every time.
Just to highlight something, I think, and to give CTOs in the restaurant industry some, you know, credit.
It's just a lot of credit.
A lot of credit. So,
extra credit. Yeah.
Thank you, Mom.
all these ideas that we're talking about, the fundamental element that it needs is information, data.
Yeah.
And in the restaurant industry, until recently, that information wasn't available.
Yeah.
Okay. If you think about the only data that was being captured really from a guest engagement perspective, and it wasn't really tied into it, was that transactional information that was going through the POS. So the data didn't exist. And it's just starting to exist and understand it. And as restaurants become more digital, more and more of that information is available that then you can act on and create all these cool different types of engagements, both from an operational perspective with your staff as well as with your guests. The notion of personalization, and I'm old. I remember when the first website was launched, the first e-commerce site was launched in sort of the late 80s, early 90s. They were already in those e-commerce platforms were talking about personalization. Right. So this is not a new thing. Right. It's just in the restaurant industry, the data was not there, the information was not there for us to build all these cool technology and engagement features on. I can tell you one other thing is that right now, because I live in Canada, coming to the US and I have, Nexus, I don't even have to show anything. The only thing they see on the camera is my face, okay? So no information, nothing that I have to type or scan. They see my face and they say, please proceed. And when I walk up to the kiosk, the guy, the officer already knows all my travel, what I've been doing, and this time I was coming down, it's like, oh, you're going down for business. And I'm trying to think as I'm walking away from the kiosk, it's like, I don't think I said anything about business.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't he think that I was going down for business? Yeah. So it's kind of interesting, but I think we got to give it time. The ideas exist.
Right.
Some of it is not new idea, but we just need the fundamental information to be captured. And again, who owns it and who controls it, that all comes into play. Some brands are choosing to own it and other brands don't have the intelligence to be able to do that. So they're trusting their partners to own it and manage it. So I think it's coming. I agree with you. It's coming. It's just the information's got to be gathered before we can even start thinking about the technology that we want to build on top of it.
And there are players today, sorry, Hamad, but there are players today, like think about all the 3PDs. The reason they thrive is because of the data they have,
right.
Which they are able to then personalize and render it to the guest in a way where it's meaningful,
yeah.
Right? And the distribution points also, right? As I said, like it's so much easier for us to when somebody is coming to a website and app. And they log in to be able to know exactly who it is than somebody who is walking into the restaurant. Like how do you?
Yeah, right. And that's what you're talking about when you were saying the connection point between the digital and the physical
worlds. Yeah,
that's the true magic.
If
you can tie those together, and regardless of my point of engagement with your brand, you still recognize me the same way.
Right.
And treat me the same way.
Or even treat you more valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have 6 transactions online and you've been in the restaurant 4 times.
Yes.
You're a 10 transaction person.
Yes.
Not a 6 transaction or not a 4 transaction.
Yeah. And I always share that story. Like one of my favorite restaurants, like I walk in, I have to wait 45 minutes in line just like everybody else. But I know I spend twice as much as their average check, which means I'm twice as profitable and I tip twice as much because I'm spending twice as much. But they're telling me, wait 45 minutes in line. If that was an airline, they'd say, hey, you board first. Forget everybody else. But what they're doing and what I see in the restaurant space, they're pushing the VIP customers. They're pushing the profitable customers elsewhere. It's like, we don't want your business. Now, obviously, that's not what the operator says, but that's what they're doing physically.
Yeah.
They're saying, hey, no, we want your business. We want you to come back. But we're not going to treat you differently like everybody else. Again, what we're discussing, it's happening outside of the restaurant space in hospitality, but not happening in the restaurant.
Right,
and it's not by design.
No, it's not by design.
It's lack of information.
Exactly. Right.
They and don't know who I am.
Exactly.
Because so when I give them my phone number, I expect them to know it's me. Here's how much I spend, how many times I come in, when was the last time I came in, and if I have an allergy or if I'm
But I can also bet you that the data is there.
It is there.
And how do you use that data?
You're just not unlocking it.
Well, I agree. It's there, but it's not making it to the front hand worker.
The
and
distribution
some of the technology
points are limited.
Tools that they're using, they just don't have the functionality.
Well, and data is the fuel for the technology. If you're not, you can have all the data. It's like having a can full of fuel, but it's not in your car. It doesn't do you any good.
Of course.
You got to get that fuel where it needs to go. And so the points that were being made, if you know all that information and it can be unlocked and then put in a means in a way that's effortless and connected to digital and physical world so that when Hamid walks in, we already know he's sure. a 10 transaction guy a month, right this way, right? How do you, we were kind of working on this in our previous employment together of how can my, I'll call it pane of glass in front of my operator, notify me that you just walked in and you're a high value customer.
Sure.
Right? There's a way to do this. Yes. And with the stuff the airlines are doing now, and the stuff you're seeing, whether it's facial recognition, iris recognition, opt-in for loyalty, tokenization of data, there's 50 ways to solve this. It seems at times either restaurant operators aren't focused or restaurant technology people aren't focused on doing that. They're just focused on selling you a product.
Yeah.
We've got to get more technology thinking and marketing thinking people to say, how do I take this fuel and make it all the way to the end to drive sales and profitability.
It's a transition from being a transactional focused organization to one that's relationship engagement driven. And I think if you do a good job in developing relationship and engagements, you'll see more transactions. So it's almost the other way around. I just had the hotels are doing it. We were on vacation, we checked in, and then the head chef found us by the poolside, came and personally talked to me, saying, thank you for your loyalty, for visiting our property, we appreciate you. And he offered like this 4-platter of food, and my wife and kids are looking at me, and I'm like, well, who are you?
I agree. And by the way, it goes back.
I've already paid for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's loyalty.
On the other end of that, right, how do you get to that point? And it reminded, you know, us staying here at this Hilton reminded me of this. So I'm a Marriott guy. Only stay at Marriott's. You put me in Hilton for whatever reason, but
yeah,
I'm the same. I'm shocked.
So was I. But here's the good news. So I get in last night. I haven't stayed at Hilton in probably 15 plus years. Okay, I walk in last night and I'm checking in, and she does not try to sell me or get me to sign up for anything. She goes, "Hey, I noticed that you're not a member here. Where do you normally stay?" And I was like, "Interesting. I normally stay with Marriott." She goes, "Well, wow, so glad you're here, but didn't try to put pressure on me. But I got first class service since we've been here. I was getting text messages.
Nice.
Do you need anything? No, you're here for business. There's like a steamer sent to your room." I was like, "Actually, yes, that would be great. Thank you." But that is a way. It's not going to work for me, but that is a way to capture somebody, right? Because I'm a first-time
well,
guest in
their eyes.
You're too
loyal to the other guys, yeah.
Right.
But they're doing. If imagine the alternative is they wouldn't do that.
Right. If they treat me poorly because I'm not, then that's even worse because you're never going to get me to that point. But they at least made an effort, and they used their own systems of identifying that if he's coming here on business and he's not a rewards member with us, this could be an opportunity.
Right? That didn't happen to me.
It didn't happen to me either.
Yeah,
but I love it. Like I was like that's a great.
But that's an important point because now that's
yeah.
That person. That lady right. took an initiative on her own to engage with you that way.
I just got to thank you, Tex, for staying.
Yeah, we never got any of that.
It's interesting.
I'm a Marriott guy. By the way,
but wait, was it the data?
Consistency?
Kendall, was it the data? Because she asked you and you offered that information. Did she write that down? Do you think she put it in the system?
Maybe. I mean, I know for sure she led with, "I see you're not a member here," right? And so she already checked, and maybe they have an automated question that does that, but either way, she then took it to her own liberty, but some sort of data gave her that insight, and then the rest is up to her. She acted on it, right?
And by the way, like, technology is amazing, like, but if it doesn't make it to the hands of the frontline workers, right. It's useless. And
yes.
Two, if you do not train your staff to take that action, it's useless. Case in point, we were at Chicago, shout out to Steak 48, they crushed it. We went there first night, made a reservation. They clearly had my information because it was in the reservation system. We went in, there was a couple of hiccups, which they sent some free desserts, made up for it, and things were amazing. Like, you know, great experience. Next night, my CEO and myself were talking. We're like, hey, this thing was really freaking good. Let's go back again. Made another reservation, went back in, but the hostess just nothing, right? However, like negative side, hostess wasn't like, oh, I see you came back. Like, I'm sure she recognized us because it was literally
the only guy that has
a steakhouse.
I don't think there's that many guys rolling around with afros, so she totally knew who you were.
She should have, right? But nothing. And she tried to put us in the section. I'm like, hey, we'd like to sit by the glass because I can see through the kitchen. I love the view. We enjoyed it. Boom. But the moment we get seated, one of the managers walks up. It's like, hey, you guys are back again. Oh, thanks for coming back. Dada. It's like, oh, wow, they recognize that. Like literally 3 minutes later, the next lady shows up. It's like, oh, you're back again. You're da, 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 da. And started the conversation. You know, if they could have, they did a hell of a job. They could have easily walked up to the reservation system and say, oh, that's Hamid. And she could have walked up and say, hey, Hamid, you're back. And I would have been like, oh, how do you know my name? Mm-hmm. You remember me from last night, right? So some tools are there, but I think there's some operational changes that has to happen in order to elevate that experience. And like, I would go back there any day of the week just because the experience was amazing. Like, no matter what, I think getting that information to the hands of the frontline worker, getting some training set up, like, or simple case, you know, when, like, in our system, like, I'll go back to that, like, we made this change on the reservation system because of this purpose. If you make a reservation and say it was a business meal, now we're giving that information to the hostess that says, hey, they're coming in for business, grab a note card and write down, hey, hero, you got it, go close the deal, put it on the table. Takes maybe 60 seconds, right? But it completely changes that experience for that person. So guess what? Next time, they know they got it. There's a reason we're doing this here at the Cowboys Club. You walk in, everything's done for you. I didn't have to do anything except send an email and say, hey, I've got this event planned out. And we just walked in. I did not plan any of this out, right? Because I knew that they're going to take care of it. And this is what we rely on. Now, there's a premium to be paid for that. But I think restaurants need to get to that. So the next point is, should IT report to marketing? Because it's an integral part. So Pankaj, we'll start with you. Should IT start reporting to marketing, or should it be the other way around? Or there has to be some sort of a collaboration. By the way, I heard this on stage last year at FS Tech. A prominent CMO was on stage and she's like, hey, we have IT report to marketing. Now, because it's an integral part of marketing, without IT, we can't do marketing. We can't do personalized marketing and we can't do all these different things. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know if, again, I think if it is limited to just marketing, I would say yes. But I would say IT is not just limited to marketing. Like technology has...
Great point.
Like I think there are so many... things which technology touches.
It's at the center of everything you do.
Correct.
Right?
And so I think, again, like we are talking about in the context of digital and like what marketing does and all those things, absolutely, right? But if that was the universe, decision would be different, right? But that's not the discussion probably organizations are having. As far as when you look at about technology and the role it plays, whether it is in marketing, whether it is in finance, whether it is in operations, I think the whole idea of like who should report to who and all those things is probably a less important topic. The bigger question or the bigger thing we should all talk about is like, how do all these groups collaborate? I think marketing needs IT, IT needs operations, operations needs marketing. Like all these groups are like interconnected. So it's less about like who reports to who. It's more about like how do you collaborate and make sure that the goal which you are going after is a unified goal, right? I think that's, in my mind, is more important than the reporting structure.
I agree, yeah. That's a great way to put it. That's why we have a diverse board, because, you know, you've got one feedback on this side, another feedback from the other side, and then you collaborate and... Ultimately, the goal is the same, is how do we serve the customer better in order to increase their revenue and stay in business for another year?
While taking care of team members and crew members, don't forget.
Absolutely.
Two important sides. You cannot focus on one and leave the other. So
I remember our last podcast. You made a very clear point on that, and I appreciate you bringing it up again. But team experience is, of course, critical, no doubt about that.
Don't forget about them.